against him. For the righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? The word of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from Colossians, beginning in the third chapter. If then you have raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these things you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all, in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nonetheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. And Frank, I'm going to see if I can wrestle my notes away from you.
Can I steal your notes?
Frank did that on purpose. He's done it before, so. Well, good morning and welcome, and we're glad to have you here. Back in 1991, three friends and I decided that we were going to do something we weren't even sure we could do, but we set out to do it. And that was run the New York City Marathon. And so two of the guys lived up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and so the fourth guy and myself embarked on this seven-month training program. And actually, we started even a little earlier than that because we were scared to death. And that's probably some pretty good motivation when you're getting ready to do something as overwhelming as that seemed at the time. But we would run for 6 days, take a day off, and then the following day, we would, and the 6 days were runs of 5 to 6 miles. And then on the seventh day, we would run 14 to 22 miles. And you have to start building up to that. So about a month and a half into the process, my partner, quote unquote, said, I don't think I can do this. He said, this preparation's too much work. I went, okay, well, what did you think? I mean, we could barely get to the refrigerator. Now we're talking about running 26.2 miles. I mean, there is some commitment to get to where you can do that. But the bottom line is he dropped out, so I was on my own. But you know, sometimes we rob ourselves of a really cool thing because the pressure preparation gets lost and we quit. We don't take things to the finish line. So today, what I want to speak about is this season of Lent, because the season of Lent is a preparation for Good Friday and Easter. And so this life-saving event takes some pretty good and serious preparation, but what an ending when this preparation is over. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time to worship. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth would speak words that you've prepared. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would be with us, that things would be spoken and things would be heard that would bring glory to your name. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're 11 days deep into Lent. And as I said, it's a time of preparation for Good Friday and for Easter. So it's this four-week period where we reflect and literally we repent and we turn towards the cross of Christ, this cross on which Jesus rescues us. The title of this sermon is The Great Rescue, and that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Lent leads us into Holy Week. And it's when Jesus walks into Jerusalem, and just a few days later, he's on the cross. And in this time of preparation, we need to be at the bottom of that cross, looking up. And during that time, understanding what is Jesus doing and what did he do for us. You see, Lent prepares us to be able to stand at that cross on Good Friday. And then 3 days later, we celebrate the risen Lord. But sadly, too often, I've done it, you've done it, it's easy to do, the world wants us to do it, and that is we go to the Ash Wednesday service, we get the ashes that are typically the burned palms from the year before Palm Sunday, and dust to dust, from dust you came and dust you will return. Kind of puts into perspective who we are and what we are. But then we go home and we wash them off. And if we aren't careful, we're tempted to start looking towards Good Friday and Easter. And I even know at times I've caught myself looking only towards Easter. I'm ready for the celebration. I don't want to hear about the pain and the suffering and the why. But we need to. So these 40 days are here for us where we might humble ourselves and where we might truly prepare ourselves to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So I don't want this sermon to feel negative to you, because it's not. But let's put into perspective today what was done and hopefully the joy of what is about to come at Easter time will be heightened even more. I can tell you this, as I look back on that marathon, when I crossed that finish line, and most of you know I like to play sports, probably not good at many of them, but I try everything. But when I crossed that line after 26.3 miles, the exhilaration was pretty much indescribable, because it's the first time I'd ever done that. When you train, you never run 26 miles. You run something less than that, just getting your body ready. So that day was a day of celebration. Me and my buddies, we waited on each other and finished, and it was just a great celebration. But I can tell you, the next morning, one of the first things I thought in my mind was, you know what? All those days that I got up at 4:30 in the morning, went downtown Spartanburg, South Carolina, and ran out to Cowpens or ran out to Reedville Road or did this, it was worth every step. But if I hadn't finished, or if I'd walked or something had happened, I'd probably look back and go, yeah, it was a waste of time. But it wasn't. And so as we look at Good Friday and as we look at Easter, let us use the remaining days of this season of Lent to really understand what is going on and what happened. And maybe we ought to just pause and ask the question, Lord, please show me exactly why I need to be rescued. Because you see, Lent is a season of repentance. And repentance, and you can find all kind of worldly definitions and biblical definitions, but basically, it's sincere regret, it's remorse. It's promising to change one's way of life because you now understand that you're not living your life the way God wants you to live. That's what repentance is. But before repentance, we have to know what we're repenting for. So we have to do one of the worst things that I hate to do, and that's take inventory. I hate to take inventory when I was working in a restaurant, and I really hate taking inventory of myself. It's where you stand in front of the mirror and go, okay, Skip, let's talk about who you really are. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy that at all. But that's what this season is all about. Because this personal inventory lets us look inside ourselves. And in doing so, it's not to condemn ourselves, but it's to say, Lord, I'm understanding more and more and more why I need you. I'm understanding more and more and more why this event happened. It had to happen because I couldn't save myself. And sin, real simply, sin is anything that separates us from God. And we've all done things, and we've all done things knowing we were doing it. But we kind of just regroup, don't we? We just kind of go, okay, well, just this one time, I'm going to do this. But that's what this season is all about. And the kind of things that break our communion with God or disappoint God is we don't love others the way we should love them. The things in our heart are not of God. Our mindset about how we think of others, and actions that literally just go against the goodness and the love of God. This is the same God that gave his son on Easter Sunday, Good Friday, and rose on Easter Sunday for me and you. So it's hard to admit that you've disappointed God, because when you do, it also means we're separated from God. So how do we walk through this season of Lent and not separate the recognition of sin, the action of repentance, but also praising God for Jesus, our Savior? Well, some things just can't be done normally and by human nature. So we do this by asking the Holy Spirit during this time, Holy Spirit, show me why I need this rescue. Show me why I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me the things that he died for. And this is really important. You know, when Jesus died, it's all done. You're already forgiven, okay? So you don't have to worry about that part of it. But how we take that forgiveness and how we use that forgiveness and how we live our life out every single day, knowing we're forgiven, will change how we treat others. It'll change how we live our lives. And so just real quickly, I just want to speak just real briefly into the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit sometimes is talked about like this thing that's out there. He's not a thing. He's actually a he. He's in a tie for first place for the most powerful person in the universe, along with God and along with Jesus. Because you see, and that's another sermon for another day, they're all one. They're all the same person. And the other thing about the Holy Spirit is he's not passive. The Holy Spirit is very, very active. It's just us connecting and allowing him to be active in our hearts and in our lives and in what we do and in what we say. Just prior to Jesus' arrest, he's in the upper room. It's where the Lord's Supper that we're going to celebrate here in just a few minutes was done. And he's with his followers. He's with these people that he's already told them, I'm going to have to go somewhere. And they're going, no, you're not. I mean, you're Jesus. You're not going anywhere. So you can imagine what is the feeling, the air you could cut it in this room. And here's what Jesus says in the book of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is not to your advantage, it is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Him is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling them, I'm going to send somebody that is me. It's me in the Spirit. I'll be in your heart and I'll be in your mind and I'll help you walk through daily life. And here are some of the definitions of the Holy Spirit. You've heard the word paraclete, which is a Greek word, but here's what it means. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. He's on your side. His whole being is to help you be who God wants you to be. He's a counselor. He's an intercessor. That's the reason we end our prayers in the name of Jesus. And our prayers come from the Holy Spirit stirring us up, knowing what we need to pray for, why we need to pray, or who we need to pray for. And it's through Jesus, because of his sacrifice, that our prayers are heard. He's a comforter, and he's called to one's aid. I love that. The Holy Spirit is there to help us when we need him. All we do is have to ask him and tell him what it is we need. In other words, he's Jesus, he's God. And so when we're preparing for Lent, the Holy Spirit is right here with us and in us. And as we look at our sins and repenting and confessing and knowing forgiveness is already there for us, we don't have to wait again for forgiveness. It brings much, much more meaning to what happens on that Easter Sunday. Jesus goes on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to that. When he comes, so when he comes into a person that accepts Jesus Christ, here's what the new you looks like. The Holy Spirit's going to speak the truth into your heart. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come, and he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So you see, in this season of Lent, when we're preparing, all we have to do really is just say, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, God, would you reveal to me what I've done? And so over these next 40 days, I will continue to repent. I will continue to confess, and I will continue to say, thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of what I've done. And as we heard, Paul wrote this. He's reminding the believers of who they are. And so this is me and you. What Paul is reading is just the same people. It was the church people. Okay, that's who was listening to these Paul that day. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways before you accepted Jesus Christ in the life you once lived. But how many of us have slipped backwards? But the good news is, Jesus doesn't have to come again for me or you. He's already come, and he only had to come one time. That's how meaningful that finish line was. And it covers everybody. Anybody that wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ steps under that umbrella and under that protection. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old person. And simply put, love one another. And I don't just mean in your family or in this room, but love the people that you bump into. Love the people that yesterday you were angry at. Love the people that you hated. You put that away, and you're now embraced by what God wants you to be embraced by and where he wants you to live. But I love the beauty of the second part of this scripture, because this speaks to where we want to be on Easter Sunday and the day after Easter. So, chosen by God for new life of love, dress in the wardrobe of God, picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Can we live that way? Yes, you can. By the gift of God and with the Holy Spirit in us, we can live that kind of life. Do you think this nation and this world could use some people that are living in compassion and kindness, humility, discipline? Does this nation and this world need people that are even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense? Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. You know, this is a great way to compare what you do in life. In a worship service, we celebrate what Jesus did for us. God is saying to us, just do what's already been done for you. Not asking you to do anything outside of that. Just do what has already been done for you. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, wherever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Now, we can live like this, brothers and sisters, and we need to live like this. In this world, in this nation, in this neighborhood, and it all needs this. We're looking in the wrong places for relief. I can tell you that right now. It's not who gets elected. It's not who's running a foreign country. It's not who's killing people in New Zealand. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find the answer in the acts themselves and the people that are doing it. You're going to find the answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he and only he can bring you that peace and that comfort. We live in a world where Satan is living right here with us. And these things are going to happen. But we can make it look different. We can love people in a different way. And that's what Easter is all about. That's what Good Friday is all about. That's what this great rescue is all about. You've been rescued. Now enjoy the rescue. And live like somebody that's rescued. If somebody's saved you from drowning, I can tell you, for the next 24, 48, 72 hours, you're going to be grateful and appreciative and going, "This, thank you, Lord." But all of a sudden, 4 days later, 6 days later, 8 years later, it's, you lose some of that. Don't lose that. And we've got a time to prepare for exactly this time. So in closing, I would just like to say this. Lent is a time to take inventory of your sins, and that can be just constant. Oh, Lord, I did something today. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he's going to go, you already been forgiven, so don't worry about that part of it. But let's just try to live differently. Let's try to live better. You see, the perfect Son that knew no sin saved us. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just don't jump into Easter. And I'm not discounting Easter. That's the whole point of this is I'm not discounting Easter. But I'm saying understand the magnitude of what Jesus did. And the better you prepare, the more this Easter will raise you to levels and heights you've never, ever experienced. Because you will know and understand and appreciate what Jesus did for you.